You have in your hands, by this point, a candle. And when you think about a candle, you hold in your hands one of the most ancient forms of artificial light that we know. Between a candle and an oil lamp, obviously you can just light wood on fire, that sort of thing. But as far as a controlled device, if we could say it that way, that it would be safe to have in your home, a candle and an oil lamp is very, very ancient. When God decided that he would describe for us in terms so that we might understand what it was he was doing, he used the image of light. We like being in the light. We like to be reminded of the light. Last year on Christmas Eve, and we will do this again when you leave this evening, after we will have lit all of our candles and concluded with a song, you can just take that candle out of that holder, and you can take the candle with you if you wouldn't mind dropping the holders back in the containers that you picked them up. We'll reuse them. But I asked you last year, I said, why don't you find some place you could just take that with you and keep somewhere? I dropped mine in the center console between the two front seats of the vehicle we were in. And like a lot of things in our cars, it got covered over with all sorts of other stuff piled on top of it. We were actually getting ready in May to go on a brief vacation. And I guess it was time to clean out the center console. And I got digging. And suddenly, from the bottom of all the accumulated stuff of an automobile came the candle again. And for me, it was just a reminder because I remembered where it was that came from and what it's useful for. And it was a good reminder to me as we left last time thinking about the light of the world and the fact that Jesus wants us to be the bearers of that light. So I trust that will be a good reminder going forth. But I want us just to spend a few moments looking at some scripture that God uses to communicate with us concerning this gift. And in so doing, he gives us a description of what his intentions were. It's more than just to tell a story that is fascinating. And there are elements of the story that are fascinating. We've been studying those on Sunday mornings here in December. There's a certain fascination with the shepherds and the angel meeting them out in their fields. There's a fascination with the wise men who came later to come and present these costly gifts and to bow down. And we think how strange it must have been for these men in all of their position and in place of influence to bow down before just a child and worship him and present him these costly gifts. There's the wonder of the Annunciation to Mary, and we studied last Sunday morning where Zacharias and Elizabeth and their son John fit into the story. But God communicates that he has an intention more than just to fascinate us. He has an intention to save us. And in so doing, he uses the imagery of light. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 9, in chapter 9, verse 2, I should say, where he introduces this passage that he describes this child being born, he begins with these words: the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of the darkness. I much prefer the light, don't you? Now, light does several things for us. It provides the ability for us to see. It also warms us. We were going somewhere earlier today, and I guess what we had earlier might be as close as we get to a white Christmas with a little bit of snow this morning. But it was cold and the snow was falling, and we were just turning into our neighborhood, and suddenly the clouds started to break, and I felt the sun just kind of shining through the glass, and I just kind of thought, oh, that feels so good just to feel the warmth of the sun. It warms us, it illuminates us, it provides energy for life on this planet. But he describes, he says, the people who walked in darkness. That is not just describing the people of Isaiah's day, some 400 plus years before the time of Christ. That is describing the default experience of all humanity. Walking in darkness until we encounter the light, which comes through a personal relationship with our God that is secured for us through our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He says, the people who walked in darkness, who lived all their days in darkness, not knowing where to go, not feeling the warmth of the presence of God, not having hope, not having peace, not experiencing joy, not having the assurance of sins forgiven, the assurance of God's love and a relationship with Him. I'm going to read more than just what you see on the screen, but I'll read that whole verse. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. And later in that chapter, he says, that light shined in the person of this one who is described in this fashion. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's the promise given in that instance, as I already said, several hundred years before the time of Christ. That there was a desire for this to come to pass, but people had to wait upon it. And over in the New Testament, we oftentimes look at Luke's account of the Christmas story, because that tells the story of Mary. It tells us the story of the shepherds. We oftentimes look in Matthew's account of the Christmas story, because that tells Joseph's story. It includes the story of the wise men and also includes the story of King Herod. But John writes the story of the arrival of Jesus Christ and the gift of Jesus Christ using completely different terms. He does not describe any narrative of any events or history. He describes it in very spiritual words. And he says it this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. He then goes on to talk about John and his special role. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and that through him, and that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was, and listen carefully, and this will be on the screen, the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. John makes no doubt, he makes sure that we don't miss the point, that the light that was promised is the light that was provided when Jesus Christ arrived in this world. It describes that living in darkness was not what God intended for any of us. God intended for us to live and to walk and to experience the light so that we would see life in reality, that we would know the truth, that we would be able to have an encounter with our God that would last for all eternity. In fact, if you flash forward into the last book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation, where heaven is described in vivid and picturesque detail, the most striking thing about heaven is that it is a city that is bathed in light. It is a city that is ablaze with light, which derives from the source, which is the presence and the glory of God Himself. God is a big fan of light. And God is such a fan of light, He did not want us to live in darkness. So He sent into this world the Lord Jesus Christ to bring us that light. The light was promised, the light was provided. But the light also is proclaimed again and again throughout the New Testament in referring to Christ. The light is proclaimed, first of all, in 1 John 1:5, where John writes, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." By His very nature, God is light. God reveals, God knows, God sees, God warms, God energizes. All of those pictures that we gather from a source of light is in some fashion what God is. And I love the purity of that statement as you see it there before you. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Even the best of mankind, even the best of us, as we may sometimes erroneously try to evaluate each other's moral stance, but whoever we might consider the best of us, it could not be said that there's no darkness at all in us. There is still that taint of fallenness. There is still that mark of Adam's transgression. There still is that record of our own failings. We do not stand in any sense pure, yes, positionally and from God's point of view, dealt with on the cross, but we know our record is spotty at best. But God's record is absolutely supreme. It is absolutely perfect. No darkness dwells in him. It is the purest light. And in John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus, speaking directly to the subject, says this, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Jesus very boldly and very directly proclaims that the light that God is, and to have an experience with him and have a relationship with him both now and for eternity, is bound up in one person. It is secured by one avenue. There is only one way to obtain it, and that is only and exclusively, but fortunately, open to all in him. He says it there in that verse, "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Why? Because he says, "I am the light of the world." If you don't mind, I'd just like to ask a couple of questions of you, and you can answer them in the privacy of your own heart. But on this eve of the celebration of Christmas, the birth of the Savior and his arrival into the world, that light that shone into the world in the person of Christ, do you know him? Do you know him personally? Do you have a relationship with him, or is he just some mere historical figure, some religious icon of past days? Is he someone you know? Is he someone that you have met? Is he someone that you talk to and have fellowship with? Do you know him? I'd like to secondly just ask a question, and again, not to put you in any sort of an uncomfortable position, but I think this is what the fact that Jesus being the light of the world must compel us, it compels us to answer this question. Do you know him, number one? And secondly, if not, why not? What could possibly keep you? What is so compelling about the darkness? What is so compelling about life as it is lived apart from God, that would pale in comparison, that would absolutely be vanquished to stand in the presence of God and have a relationship with him, knowing that the problem of sin dealt with, that there is the promise of eternal life? We call that many things, and the Bible uses many different terms to describe that. Jesus used these words just a few chapters before the verse you see there in John 8 and John 3, where Jesus said that if a man is going to enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, he must be born again. Sometimes we use the word saved, or we use the word coming to believe in Christ or receiving Christ. But it simply means this, that you come to the point in life where you just personally, for yourself, can't do it for anyone else, no one else can do it for you. You come to the place where you say, "I am staking the safekeeping of my eternal soul, solely, fully, finally, completely, on the fact that Jesus Christ was born into this world, that he was God sent in the flesh, that he was the light of the world, and that he died on a cross, not for himself, but he died there as the payment for our sins and for your sins." And through believing in that, then God has promised, he's put it in writing, that he's promised, he says, all that come to him he will not cast out, he will not reject. be summed up in Paul's words spoken to a man who thought he was on the edge of losing his life in Acts 16, where Paul says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." That's God's promise to you. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the one who has come to reveal God to us and to restore us to God. And I would strongly encourage you to make sure you answer those two questions. Do you know Him? And if not, why not? If you need help with that decision, need help with understanding it, you'd like someone to, in maybe a little more private setting, to sit down and open the Word of God and explain what it says about being saved, or answer your questions, or something that maybe you don't fully understand, we'd be happy to do that anytime in any way. For those who have come to the Lord Jesus, and if you could answer that question, do you know Him, and you say yes, and you know Him as your Savior, there's one more aspect of light that I want to take a moment to consider as we reflect on the light which is shown from the darkness into this cold and desperate world. It's found in 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. A portion will be before you. "If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Walk in the light. That means to continue and order our life and our steps and our lifestyle and our patterns. We need to order our lives within the light, which is Him. That means simply this, that we remain obedient to what He tells us. We avoid those things He tells us to avoid. We embrace those things He tells us to embrace. We fellowship with Him. We have a relationship with Him. And that expands to the family of God. Because in this verse, it's not in front of you on the screen, but I'll read it to you. It says, "We have fellowship one with another." You see, when you come to know Christ as Savior, and this is the joy that we have as believers in Christ, He brings us into a new family, filled with other followers of Christ, filled with others who are brothers and sisters in Christ. Imperfect, yes. Still making progress, we believe. But people whom are highly favored by God, blessed of God, forgiven by God, and assured of God's ongoing presence in their lives. I hope you are enjoying the family of God, and I always enjoy this gathering of our church family in this setting. It's a special time, a time to maybe be a little more quiet and a little more reflective, a time to order our thoughts and our minds and be thankful, to offer our praise unto our God and be reminded of the significance behind the celebration. But we need to fully participate in the family of God. We have fellowship one with another. I would encourage you, here as we are on the near the conclusion of this year, one more week left in it. A week from tonight we'll be on the verge of a new year beginning. But I would encourage you and I would urge you that you make sure that you spend your time and your days within a fellowship of others who are followers of Christ. And be fully invested in it with your time and your energy and your service. Because God does not want His children growing up feeling like we're only children or we're all alone or orphans. But He wants us to grow up flourishing within the family of God. He says this, we are to walk in the light. Making sure that we walk in obedience to Him, that we walk in fellowship with other believers, and we fully invest in our service for Him with our heart, with our effort, our time, and those things that we hold dear. Again, I want to read the first verse that we began with because I think it sets the tone. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. In just a few moments, there's only one candle that's burning. Some of the lights here obviously are electric, but there's only one candle burning. It's to my right. And we're going to sing together what has already been sung for us, and we'll have the chance to offer that song back with all of our voices, and we'll conclude with singing Silent Night. But as we begin that song, I'll light a candle from that, and then it'll be passed throughout this whole auditorium. And you can just pass the flame down the rows, and we will hold them together. And when we've concluded, I would encourage you just in your own private heart to offer a prayer of thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. And then after the song is concluded, you can extinguish your candle and we'll be dismissed. But the picture is very, very clear, is it not? The light that shone in darkness, the light that shone, the people who walked in darkness, who have seen this great light, it began as one light. That light came to us. And part of our responsibility to walk in the light is not only to live in obedience, it's not only to live in fellowship, but it's also to pass that light on to others that are still trapped in darkness. We do that by the way we live. We do that by the way we treat them. We do that by the words that God gives us opportunity to share. We do them by inviting others to be part of the fellowship of God. Not only is He the light of the world, but we are the bearers of that light. Jesus said it this way, no one takes a lamp and covers it over with a basket, but he sets it on a lampstand so it gives light to the house. We are to be the living, breathing, walking, moving, mixing it up in the discourse of life with people you and I know to show them that the people who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. As we walk in that light, and part of walking in that light is sharing that light with others. If you join me in prayer, and then Blaine's going to come and lead us in singing Silent Night together, and we will light our candles, and then you'll have an opportunity to offer your praise to God, and then we'll be done. Father, we thank you that as we've read these passages from Scripture about the light that you saw fit to shine into the darkness of this world, to shine into the darkness of our lives, that, Father, we want to give you our thanks. Thank you that you promised that light. Thank you that you provided that light. Thank you that the Lord Jesus came and proclaimed that light. Now, Lord, help us to carry that light from this place to others. And, Lord, might we just be those who walk in the light, even as you are in the light. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to stay in darkness any longer. Thank you, we have your presence. Lord, if there be anyone in our midst tonight that does not know Christ as Savior, we pray, Father, that you would speak to that heart, draw them to yourself. For those of us who are your children, I pray, Lord, you'll draw us closer to yourself. And Lord, let us just give thanks and praise on the eve of this day of celebration. We pray these things in the name of that one who is the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. May he be praised and blessed forever. Amen.